this player is a unique player. As in, I would believe that if you met this person one time, you would be able to pull them out of a police line for the rest of your life, probably. There are plenty of characters on the Disc Golf Pro Tour, but this guy is one of the best. I feel like he's going to get guessed pretty quick, so I will at least describe a bit of his style of game, which I think the best word I can think of is twitchy. Very twitchy. He has a forehand, he has a backhand, he has a putt, and I would say all of those.
He has a putt.
He has a putt, and all of those, all three of them are very twitchy types of movements. A lot of what do we call them? The reflex muscles, the ones that sprinters need, the fast twitch muscles. There's a lot of use of the fast twitch muscles in this throw.
Casey White.
Honestly, that's a great guess, but no. Great guess, but no. This guy is smaller in stature, but what he lacks in height, he makes up for not only in personality, but also in longevity.
Ah, Brad?
Williams?
That's not twitchy.
But that's good.
No, Brad Hammack.
Oh, Brad Hammack. Oh, that's actually better, but still no.
Paul Ulberg.
This
Yuli.
No. This player is known as a shorter, technical, dominant player, and it's funny because I would say his game is very opposite to Garrett Gerthy, who is his teammate, but they both share a very similar style of putt somehow, despite the fact that their throwing games could not be more different.
Steve Brinson.
Barsby.
It is Greg Barsby. Let's go. Nice job, Simon.
Yeah, the putt hint was the one. I could. Who putts like Garrett? I was like, but yeah, Barsby does apply.
Twitchy.
I can kind of see the twitchy comment, but not 100%.
It's very twitchy. He uses so much wrist in all of his stuff.
He's bouncy, I would say.
Yeah, okay, sure.
There you go. I'm digging this game. It's fun.
Doing it's like most... a very vague hints is the key to this game.
Yeah, I had to be creative.
I had to avoid saying he was known as one of the better forehand throwers in the world, and other obvious hints.
Who said that?
Everyone nowadays is known to have.
Everyone has the best forehand in the world nowadays.
It's true.
I sometimes definitely do. Oh my god.
Yeah. If you said best forehand in the world, I would have said Simon Lizotte.
Best underrated forehand in the world. All right, guys, what's up? It is post Christmas. Did you survive the epic celebrations?
Yes.
I survived. I survived the hippie gathering that I went to.
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
The people want to know, what did Eagle McMahon get for Christmas this year?
I got
a wife.
Nothing for Christmas.
Nothing.
No, we don't. Ratan and I, or pretty much any of my family, even do Christmas. We did it. We did it for a long time, but now we're all old enough and we can all buy what we want. So we figure, what's the point? But I mean, I gave myself the Christmas gift of being in Hawaii, so I got all that I could ever want.
You got a wife.
I got a wife for Christmas.
That's a good episode name. I got a wife for Christmas.
No, but we just went, my friend from a long time ago who lives out here, Jacob, he invited Ratana and I to this hippie gathering at this retreat center. And we were there just for like 2 or 3 hours. And there was like a potluck and we brought some food and tried to socialize. But we left pretty early. Ratana was going hard playing volleyball. And she kind of taxed out her wrists. She's doing okay, but we've had to take a few days off of disc golf because of it. She's all gas and no brakes when it comes to volleyball. So she was like, just, I mean, she wore her white. I mean, this is the dress that she technically wore for her wedding, playing volleyball, and she was just like diving for the balls and just going absolutely crazy. But it was fun. Otherwise, I had a very productive Christmas. I was doing a lot of planning for my tour and searching out Airbnbs for next year. I mean, Christmas to me was just another day to get stuff done.
Simon, one of those things reminisced.
Of course, I talked to my family and everybody, and that was good as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I...
Shout out volleyball. Volleyball, one of the most underrated freaking sports in the world.
I agree. It's like, so Ratana and I just finished watching an anime called Haikyuu, and it's literally a volleyball anime, and it's incredible, but it made me curious about professional volleyball. It's actually nuts how athletic the players are and the rallies that they go on. Like, it makes me legitimately more interested in volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, they're so good. It's like almost every attack is a point. And if they ever get into a rally, that gets really exciting, but it's pretty rare because they're just getting so big. They can jump so high. And when they hammer that ball on the other side, the defense is, I mean, at some point it's just luck, I feel like. But yeah, my volleyball days are long over, but I have had some epic volleyball moments in my life.
Beach or indoor?
Both. Way back in the day when we were still younger, kind of like early teens, we would go to a German in the Nordic Sea, in an island, and beach volleyball was like, of course, naked. That's a very German thing. But it was like a very, very serious slash naked? Fun serious competition daily. Basically all day, from morning to... from sunrise to sunset, just naked volleyball battles.
How old were you?
Every age, every gender. Oh, it was just
that's living an episode free. Name. Of course, naked.
Yeah, I mean it's a big part of German culture. I think is to have a lot of these, not a lot, I would say, but it's called FKK, which means Freie Körperkultur, which means like free body culture. They're still holding on.
Is that
it was never really my thing, obviously, but it's a
thing. Is that a German thing specifically? Or is that like a lot of other countries in Europe that have the same FF? FKK.
Yeah, it's well, in Finland, for example, if you go into a sauna with anything on, that's like sacrilege.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like an insult to...
But that's different.
...being in a sauna.
It's different than a beach and a volleyball court. But, I mean, a volleyball court, there's a lot of motion there. I mean, think about a dive. Think about a dive to get a ball out of the sand. I mean, what are you risking?
I personally don't really understand this this culture, but it is a thing. I think it's just kind of part of the history and culture. Like, that's just the word for it.
So you guys both know Dave, right? Dave Batchelder.
Yes.
Wait, what's the reference? Dave?
Dave? So you met Dave at Portland this year. He came with Pat, and he played.
He's the guy who's...
Oh, yes.
So I remember driving to play disc golf with him. And he put it in a really good way, because there's some places, especially hot springs in Colorado, that are clothing optional. And I, growing up in Boulder and being hippie vein adjacent, I've been to said places as a child. And it's mostly just because they're like nice places with like nice facilities, good hot springs. But I was asking Dave, like, would you go to like some clothing optional, like nudist places if it was like good with his girlfriend? And he's saying like, absolutely not. Like the type of person who goes to like these nudist or clothing optional places in the US is a lot different than what you're getting in Europe. Because I don't know, you really have to seek it out here in the US. Like I drove past the clothing optional beach yesterday and it looks like a nice beach, but I drove down the road because I wanted to go to the normal beach just because it's like not necessarily a part of the culture here. Like I think in Europe or other places in the world, like I went to a bathhouse in Japan where no one even thinks twice about it. But just the fact that we're in the United States of America and it's taboo, it just feels weird. Like I think it depends where I'm at, because it's not weird there, but growing up in the U.S., I don't know, there's just something around it. And Dave was like, you know, I'm not going in the U.S., but you could convince me in Europe or other places.
I mean, I'm on Dave's team at this point, I would say.
It's weird in the U.S., not weird everywhere else.
I feel like
when we started this episode, we asked each other, what are we going to talk about?
Nudity.
Lo and behold,
German nudity.
Who would have guessed this is how the episode starts?
From volleyball. Ratana was the catalyst of this all. Wow. Little did she know that her volleyball on Christmas would facilitate this conversation.
Unbelievable. There was actually two things I was going to say. Number one, if anyone who knows Ratana personally knows that what I'm about to say is true, which is that I think everyone should have a little bit of Ratana's zest for life. I think if everybody had her kind of enthusiasm and her, whether it's like sometimes it's so continuously positive that there's like times that I wonder if internally it's also like continuously that happy all the time. But from an outside perspective, she just has such a drive to try new stuff, and she's really competitive, and this kind of like fear that I see holding a lot of people back from trying stuff, the fear of failure, just does not exist within her. I don't know. I think a lot of people would benefit from taking a page or two out of her book. And then the second thing I was going to say about volleyball, one of the most impressive things I've ever seen once during the Summer Olympics was a side-by-side of one of the USA men's indoor team players at the peak of his jump, and they put like a basketball hoop next to it, and the tops of his fingers were touching the top of the backboard of the basketball hoop, which is pretty insane to think about.
That's
deep breath.
Deep breath.
Joey, what did you get for Christmas?
I got boots.
You got sugar. He's got a chunk of sugar.
You got boots?
Yeah, I got boots.
Did you get waterproof boots?
Yeah, I got neoprene, waterproof, knee-high boots from Boggs, which is a pretty celebrated winter boot company. They kind of look like rain boots.
I have Bogs. Oh, of course I have Bogs.
They kind of look like rain boots, but they make winter boots, and they're great. And my dad has a pair, and I had been using them a bit for shoveling, and I was like, this is what I want. And my sister knitted me. She usually knits us things, so she knitted me a balaclava. What do you guys call it if it's not a balaclava?
Yeah, that is what it is.
Ski mask, balaclava. Okay. Bank robber mask.
All right. Yeah. And then yeah, I did get a lot of sugar in my stocking. And right now we're dog sitting a golden retriever that looks very, very similar to Sadie, the dog that we had for 12 years. So it's quite weird, but pretty great to have. It looks like there's Sadie back in the house. It's quite a weird feeling to go upstairs. But it's great to have her. And yeah, my sister's home. So that's cool. She just got a job here in the Twin Cities. So she's going to be moving back and starting a new path at a big hospital in Minneapolis, working in the emergency department. So that's pretty cool. And everybody's here right now, but we got about, I think about 5 weeks, 4 weeks maybe of rest. And then my parents go to India and I start off on the tour and my sister starts off on her new job. So this is kind of a little pause period. Although for me, I'm still going to be trying to, hit the gym consistently and hit the dome consistently. And now I'm teaching a few times a week. I've got lessons. And then a couple of putting leagues happening at some local indoor spaces that I've been attending. With some PT appointments. I try to keep my weeks pretty full of stuff. And hopefully in the next week or two, 2026 content planning is going to begin. I'm really looking forward to that. One of my dreams in disc golf industry is that we can hit the ground running in January and plan the season before it starts. I think anyone who works in the touring world knows how crazy it can get when you're out on the road, and it's annoying to do a lot of it and plan the next steps at the same time. And I put a lot of stuff in place internally to kind of set that up well for January. So I'm excited to start thinking about content ideas for Team MVP for 2026 with Will.
Nice.
And you're...
My schedule...
Yeah, I was about to say, you're going international again, almost. Well, I guess not.
No.
Not really, but you're flying.
Oh, I'm going to Puerto Rico in a couple of weeks. No, actually next week already. Holy cow. Yeah, so... No, I'm just saying for next year on tour, my schedule is going to be a lot easier traveling alone again and not having this YouTube grind on my mind. So I'm very much looking forward to that. My Christmas was pretty low key. Since I went to Germany 2 weeks ago, we already had a Christmas party there. So it felt like I had kind of two Christmases in a row. So that was a bit chaos. But overall, fine. I mean, everything in life is chaos with two little kids. You guys can relate, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
It's just the grind, the daily grind of joy. But yeah, what did I get for Christmas? I got slippers, house shoes, how we would call them in Germany. What else did I get? God, my brain. I got some Lululemon joggers. Very nice. And at least one more thing that I can't remember. It's classic.
Are these gifts from Natalia?
Yeah, from Natalia and her mom.
Very nice.
Was it at your house or her house?
This time it was at our house.
Nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. Natalia's brother with his fiance, they were in town from Wisconsin.
Wow.
Those guys they're something else. They're like extreme sports lovers, and they just go on a 10-mile run every morning casually. And I mean, they do stuff where they go on a 200-mile bike ride for fun. Up a mountain. So those are the kind of people they are. Very different from what I do or I'm used to. But pretty crazy just to see the level of discipline and dedication and fun they have just pushing their body every day to the limits. Speaking of that, I did the first run of the off season this morning, my first run. I did a very low-key 2.5 miles, just like a 30-minute jog. My legs hurt. I was watching darts as I ran, so that was kind of okay. I noticed the first 10 minutes were easy. The second 10 minutes were absolutely miserable. And then the third 10 minutes were, again, kind of easier. I don't know what the psychology is behind that. But we'll see how things go. I guess I'm trying to do it every other day, like around 3 miles. Hopefully I can just... Eagle, do you think it's better to increase time run or increase pace?
Depends what type of cardio you're wanting to do. There's different zones. What are you going for? Endurance, fat burning?
I just kind of want to do as little as possible with still having a beneficial effect to my life.
Simon definitely wants... See, Simon definitely wants to just, like, lose excess fat and strip some excess pounds and, like, try to...
Whatever is going to make you do it consistently and not stop.
Yeah, seriously.
That's the best. Yeah.
I think just showing up...
I don't know, I just have this weird competitive mindset in my brain that I always, like, have to improve... Every time I do it, like, I can't just do the same thing over and over and over again. I have to, like, try to be faster. I have to try to go longer.
Take advantage of it.
I can't just be
That's
happy
good.
With... Yeah, but then it just keeps being miserable. I'm not just happy with doing something easy, but at the same time, all I want is to do easy things.
Well...
Like, it's a paradox in my brain.
If you want to make improvement in life, then you got to seek discomfort.
I think you have to also recognize two things. You have, just the way that my mind pictures it, you have a long-term brain and you have a short-term brain. And they think very differently. The short-term brain reacts to whatever is immediately around it and tries to make you, the body, the most comfortable as possible. And if given the opportunity, the short-term brain will always take the easy way out unless the long-term brain sets up a accountability system that forces the short-term brain into, like, doing the job. And so for me, the example is that I know in the long term that going to the gym is, like, really beneficial. But in the short term, I have trouble going to the gym when it's time to go to the gym. And so what I've done is I have a trainer that I see, and so it's an appointment, and there's a human being now that's, like, waiting for me. And so instead of allowing myself to make another decision in the short term about going to the gym or not, the short term becomes I have an appointment to make, and, like, the thoughts aren't about, like, what it is. It's just about, like, getting there. And for me, that's, like, was, like, really essential for any amount of, like, routine-based things, was, like, understanding that if you don't set up a really good plan for yourself and you don't have good self-control, that short-term brain is gonna really throw off a lot of your goals.
I'm Mr. Short-Term Brain.
I mean, we have both of them, and you do too, because you're talking about it. But
I wish last year I would have just stuck with Dustin Moore and just done the things that he did every day, and I would be, like, on a different level right now.
Just
it's
think
so hard in the moment.
Just think about showing up in Florida and having all the players say, "Simon, you look good."
He already did that.
Are you wearing size small now?
I had a last year. I actually felt like I had a little bit of that.
Yes, you had the thing on the practice round with Germ, remember? And you had to tell him the story of the, or he he asked, he told you that you looked great and then reminded you of the time that he had seen you after you went from skinny to less skinny, and you were like, yeah, that actually scarred me.
I mean, jokingly, yes. But yeah, I do remember it. So it scarred me in some ways, but I never like actually cared because I know what I'm doing. But yeah, man, I think if I had one wish free to be granted, I would wish to love working out and eating healthy. That would make everything so much easier. I got to make myself love.
I would wish to just have a reprogrammed gut biome so that after like 1200 calories, it doesn't absorb like anything else into its system, and it just like passes it straight on all the way through the intestines. Like there's just like a cap to how much my body will take of sugar and everything. And after that, I can eat whatever I want and gain the taste from it, but it just passes through the system. That would be really great.
That's always my dream superpower. The ability to eat whatever
yes.
I want
yes.
and have no negative repercussions.
Just a little switch on your left wrist that you can just be like, all right, I want to absorb this meal. Oh, okay, I don't want to absorb this one. And, you know, I mean, there's obviously going to be more frequent trips to the bathroom, but that's a price I'm willing to pay.
Just an ejection button whenever.
It's just so sad that it's like never enough. Like, I feel like I eat whatever I want, whenever I want. But I've been doing that for like 33 years. And I still feel like I still want to keep doing that.
I mean,
that's so like, why can't I just like not do it for a couple years and see where it is? And then
you can.
I mean, I can, but I don't want to.
That's the problem.
The thing that bothers me...
That's the main issue.
The main issue to me is that it's like... I spoke about this on a really early episode, which is like the way that your brain handles dopamine isn't to be like happy. The way your brain handles dopamine input is to try to regulate that input. And so your brain is always trying to balance out the like hormones inside of your head. And so if you have a huge dopamine rush, your brain is going to try to chemically like bring you back. So it's that annoying fallacy of it's like never enough sugar or never enough whatever.
Well, there's another aspect to it as well. Is, I mean, you guys have known me for a long time. I was the vegan guy. And now I would say both of you probably think of me as a guy who eats healthy. And literally it's because I've made it a part of my personality. So when you're going out to eat, you're probably not even going to invite me because you know I won't eat it because I've made it a part of my identity. And the thing is, I know Simon doesn't want to be that kind of person, nor does Joey. You don't want to make it a part of your personality because you think that elements of it are really annoying and you don't want to be annoying that way. For me, I think it's a non-negotiable because I really value that part of my life. And I don't mind making it a part of who I am.
Yeah, but I also think that your value for social interactions is a lot lower on your totem pole. Like your need for like this massive, not massive, but like a consistent community of people is less intense. And I mean, it's easier for like I think you and me, Eagle, to say that Simon's, you know, person and his family is at home when he's on the road, but
it's tough. Like honestly, like I've been to Simon's house and Natalia's cooked for everybody. She makes some pretty healthy food, honestly. Like I've been impressed by what Natalia buys at the store and what she makes.
But I'm just saying, like, I think you're
it's true.
She does. No, I've never felt like I ate bad at the Lazat house, but I think that Simon and I will like much more easily sacrifice a less healthy meal in the name of having like a hangout with whoever it is that's inviting us or we're inviting them. And I think that I mean, you've got your people, but I think especially like since you and Ratana have been on tour together, it's like you guys are very happy to do your thing, and that allows you both to prioritize healthy eating and kind of like some of the bigger factors that you both align on. So I think that the fact that neither of you have this like clamoring for this kind of consistent thick friend group, and you're very happy in each other's company, and I mean, also like
all
on
that's
your own.
Right, but we'd prefer to hang out and eat healthy food, but the thing is no one does. Very
I
few
mean,
people do.
We eat good on the
I mean
food.
That's the thing, that's, the thing. Like, that's why before. Steak night is something that we really like, is because steak at face value is just protein. It's a single ingredient, and it's if you just eat steak and don't eat the sides, then you're looking at something that's actually pretty healthy.
I got my bottle of Schlebach steak seasoning in the mail.
Supreme
yeah. Steak seasoning. Yeah, he made it. It's his own personal blend, so that was pretty cool. And looking forward to more of those next year. Actually, Eagle, Simon, and I did some Airbnb-ing yesterday.
Ooh.
Yeah, we sat down for at least an hour.
At least.
And we made it all the way through OTB Open.
Yeah, we did.
So it's happening again?
It's happening.
I like it.
Yeah, I was shocked. Now.
I thought we were going to get through two events, and Simon was going to look at me, and he was going to be like, all right, dude, this is too expensive. I think I was going to do hotels for some of these. And I would be like, yep, okay, that's fair. That's fine. And every city we looked at, we were just like, oh, wow, this is like, okay.
I was doing that
too. There's like a few places here.
There's a lot of places. And
we found some deals
right now. I'm going to be booking soon as well.
Well, you better cross-reference with us because have some rooms.
No offense. I like staying just for Ton and I. It's the health thing, and we're kind of anal retentive when it comes to like cleanliness. So we really prefer just staying by ourselves. I mean, it's fun hanging out and everything, but we like being at our own space, if possible.
Do you think on the East Coast you're going to be in a car? Is that your idea? And then you'll park it somewhere and fly home, and then that's going to be like a West Coast van experience?
That is the plan right now.
And you could, this is just pulling this out of thin air. You would you could keep it in Clarksville, right? With Ratana's brother or sister?
We got a bunch of different options. We got Alabama, we got Tennessee, we got New Jersey, and honestly, even got just the airports just paid to park for a week or wherever. So that's the tentative plan.
Yep. Well, we'll definitely look forward to some steak nights. I'm excited to... It was just fun. I don't know, Simon. It was fun to go and look at all the cities and see some... We got some cool spots coming up.
There's going
to
be a lot more Polaroids coming up.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah. The Airbnb Polaroids. Jeez. Oh, I have the book still somewhere. Wherever that went. I gave Emmett a little Polaroid mini for Christmas.
That's very cute.
Turns out a 3-year-old doesn't know how to use a Polaroid. Also, if you didn't know, by the way, do not bring Polaroid film through TSA because it breaks.
Yep.
And if a 3-year-old's new toy does not work properly, it's game over. So that was my Christmas experience also in Germany.
I got to congratulate you, Simon, on a really nice videos that came out from Canada. Eagle, I doubt you've watched either of them, but I would recommend the second one, which was the Beyond Disc Golf style documentary piece that we did from Canada. I watched it with my parents, and they loved it, and yeah, I thought it was really great. I feel like the comments were well received. So huge, huge shout out to Ben Smith, Dustin Wolf, Simon Lizotte for spearheading a really awesome project. And I was honored to have tagged along and have been thought of for such a cool trip.
It actually turned out to be a really, really fun trip.
Yep.
There were doubts, obviously, going on that trip right after the season concluded and doing that whole project, like a four-day ski mountain adventure. Didn't really feel like I was up for it at the time, especially in those conditions. But, man, that was fun 4 days. Long, exhausting, but really fun. And, yeah, I was happy with the final product as well. Shout out to everyone who's checked it out. If you haven't, check it out.
I would recommend it. If you haven't checked that out, if you haven't checked out Beyond Disc Golf, not even like tooting my own horn because that's my kind of work. I just, I think as if you're a fan of this show and you're a fan of Simon and you haven't seen that stuff, I think you'll be in for a treat, I think, with those four episodes.
Very nice.
Do we want mail? Mail time?
We can do some mail. We could do maybe a Simon Wines. I was curious if you guys read the Disc Golf Fandom survey results. I didn't look at it at all, but I did see the quiz component of it. And Silva. Boy, she's the best.
It's the practice rounds. People love her on there. It's great.
Do you think she enjoys being on the practice rounds, or do you think that for her, when I ask her, because I feel like I'll never actually know what she's feeling when she answers me, but I feel like sometimes when I ask her, in her head, she's rolling her eyes like, oh, again? Didn't I do one like 2 weeks ago?
I never know what Silva is thinking. I have zero read on that person.
She should play. She should.
Every time I think I have a read on her, I have. She shocks me the next moment.
She'd confuse everybody.
She's definitely good. But yeah, shout out Silva making moves. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm stoked that MVP picked her up. I do want to read an email. So we have a email question here from Colby Mallory. You guys are playing a course and you can only throw 5 discs, including your putter, but you are all sharing a bag, so you have to agree on what the 5 discs are. How are you going to build the crushed pepper bag?
Proxy?
Hex?
Deal. I'll do hex for the mid.
Okay.
Servo?
Crave? Oh, servo.
I would do
servo.
Crave. I would honestly do a crave. Don't we all like craves?
We love craves.
Do the crave.
I think we should do the crave. I mean, I would vouch heavier for the Boca, but...
Joey's really thought about this.
Yeah.
Then
boost
aspect or Tesla.
Ooh. Is the boost fast enough to be our driver?
The boost,
and
is it
understable enough?
The boost is going to be like,
no, this is
it's going to be fast fairway, good for forehand, good if there's a little bit of wind. I'd say we do aspect. It kind of bridges the gap of all the shots you need.
But if we do aspect, then I don't think we do boost, because I just feel like boost is a faster aspect. And I would suggest octane. Maybe dimension.
We're at number 4 right now.
Oh no! I was just saying rounding it out. I think aspect is the right
aspect.
The fourth disc.
I think aspect's the right.
And
four.
Then. The fifth disc is a dimension or an octane, whatever we throw more of.
Dimension. Mayhem.
Yeah, dimension.
Oh, mayhem.
Ooh. Oh.
Muy bien?
I vote dimension.
All right, I'll vote dimension.
I vote mayhem.
Oh.
Mayhem's better for...
Wow.
Eagles outvoted.
Four hands for me.
I do throw more mayhems than a dimension. I guess we're going to outvote Simon then.
Mayhem.
I miss my mayhem days. They were short-lived, but they were beautiful.
Yeah, they really were. Now I have your mayhems. They're in a very happy...
Oh, you have them?
I have... No, you still have some. I have... I think I have three of the nice ones. They're sitting next... They're sitting in a nice rainbow. All right. Let's see.
Great question.
Oh, okay. Wow. We got some great questions here from Wes Marson. What do you imagine when you think of the state of U.S. disc golf in 20 years as a standpoint beyond just the game part? Is it still governed by the PDGA, and does it only have one major touring circuit?
Your guess is good as mine.
Yeah, I've always been useless at predicting things. So I don't even think I have a good answer. It could go in any direction, I feel like. We all think it's going to be, disc golf's going to become a devil's only competition.
That's right.
And we're going to make it big that way.
I would like to see the development of collegiate disc golf. I think there's a ton of opportunity there. I think the sister sport of Ultimate Frisbee has thrived and basically existed off of the college player base. And so I think that more development in collegiate disc golf is going to be really great. And that's what I expect to see in the next 20 years. And then at the moment, the PDGA controls the majors at the professional level. So it'll be interesting to see if that continues in 20 years. I imagine that it will, because it continues to be their door to the professional game. And I think that it fulfills their mission of representing all disc golfers and not just amateurs. The reason why they dropped the national tour and combined with the pro tour was to focus more on amateur development. But I doubt they'll give up the majors.
The Professional Disc Golf Association's focusing on amateur disc golf.
Yeah. The Professional Disc Golf Association for all disc golfers. I think the Masters Tour might continue to develop, especially as more of our current touring pros age into the Masters age. So I'm really interested to see a lot of the current 30-year-olds on tour, what they choose to do once they hit Masters age, and if some of them are still skilled enough to compete at the open level versus having to move to a Masters tour.
Freaking Masters tour looks sweet. I wish I was a Masters player. Literally, there's like, yeah, there's a tour event in Colorado.
Be careful what you wish for.
You know, there's a good chance I'll be a Masters player one day if I'm lucky. Unless there's some crazy reverse anti-aging science coming up in the next 12 years or 13 years, I'm going to be a Masters player.
Then Masters Tour won't exist anymore.
The Masters Tour won't exist.
How many birdies in a row do you need to get in a round in order to start getting stressed out?
7.
Wait, start, say that again.
How many birdies is too many birdies? You must get stressed about it at some point. Is it a hard line when the nerves kick in?
Eagles at 7? It's a pretty good answer. I'll say 8. I can handle 7 barely.
This is a great
point. 8 is where it goes overboard.
I would probably say, like,
'cause it's so true.
I'd probably say 5 for me, maybe 5 or 6. Is it more stressful to be shredding or to be slightly buried? So 5 down through 5 or like 2 over through 3?
2 over through 3.
Yeah, it's a different kind of stress. 5 through 5 is a a positive stress, and then the other way is a negative stress. And positive stress is always more fun than negative stress.
All right, this one. This is all from the same guy, by the way, Wes from Arlington, Washington. Wes, I hope everything out by you is okay. I've been hearing a lot of bad stuff about flooding in the whole state of Washington. So thinking about everyone out there in the Pacific Northwest affected by the floods. This is another great question, though. Answer for each other. If it weren't for disc golf, what can you see the others doing for a career?
This question.
Ooh, but for the others.
Yeah, for the others. I think that's great.
Joey. Wow. This should be easy, kind of. What would Joey be doing? What is like the most... Are you waiting for me?
No, I'm thinking.
You guys look frozen.
I'm thinking hard about you both. Honestly, I could see Simon owning a pub.
Just go.
Like managing a pub, which is funny because that's what Sebastian does. But I could very much see Simon kind of running a darts pool bar with music.
You've said you wanted to do this in the...
Sounds like a good
I
job.
Think Simon would be a bus driver in Bremen.
Let's go. It's another great answer. Maybe tram, because that's even lazier.
For Joey, I think he would, since he is a world traveler and he spent time in Bolivia, I don't know, I see him doing some sort of like Peace Corps.
Dolmetscher. Is that a word in English?
Just like... doing a lot of volunteer work for like communities and in certain parts of the world, like he does with the Paul Macbeth Foundation, trying to make the world a better place.
Volunteer was exactly the word that I was thinking of with Joey. I just couldn't think of what he would volunteer. I was being at like a pet shelter or something.
What was the word that you said?
I think I said the German word for, you're a professional translator for people in higher positions.
Sure.
Is it a dolmetscher? Is that not a word in English?
I've never heard of it.
I could see Eagle being...
how do you spell that?
I could see Eagle being one of those people who is like the... travel vloggers.
Interpreter. That's what I mean.
Travel vlogger?
No, like one of the people who's doing like the, this is day 3 of my walk across Africa, or this is day 25 of me walking from Spain to Japan, and just like content of Eagle like trekking across the world slowly.
Perhaps.
I love following those creators. There's a couple of people that I follow that are doing their... There's two specifically that are like in similar areas. One is Ride with Ian. He's biking from Portugal to Japan. And right now he's in Mongolia because he can't get into China because the Chinese won't give him a visa. But he almost got trapped in Iran during the bombings. And just like crazy stuff. He like went all the way through Afghanistan with the Taliban. And then the other one is this Australian dude who's walking around the world. And he started like 2.5 years ago in Australia. And now he's in the Caucasus Mountains in Georgia. And but I think there's like, I feel like there's hundreds of people who are doing something like that right now and documenting it.
I would see Eagle as like opening like some natural spa in the rainforest.
Heck yeah. That's
Eagle would open up I'm blanking on the word. What's the
ashram?
No, the Amazonian like retreat. um What's the Amazonian?
You think I'd do the you think I'd do that?
Ayahuasca. Yeah, an ayahuasca.
You think I would do that?
Well, you would like maybe not like you wouldn't like work at the center, but you would like start like the a little like kitchen next door or something. And you would like have all these natural foods, fruits from the jungle.
Those are the vibes I put off.
I mean, you put off the vibes that you would be able to abandon a lot of possessions and live very simply, happily.
Well, I like to think that about myself. So thank you. I'm honored.
And you're like, you know, you're like, I have this box over here and this is where we put our phones and we look at them once a week. And most of the rest of the time we just read and we're meditating and we're out in the garden. Making sure the plants are happy, and then we're hiking. You know, we've explored every inch of this property since we moved here. That's what I imagine, like, hearing from Eagle.
Probably not far off, honestly. Sounds like a good life to me.
Well, shout out to Wes. And he wanted to plug Caliber Disc Golf. Still have to go play it, but the plug is noted.
I was close this year, but got a flat tire, and I wasn't going to go play it anyway, but I want to get there badly. Hopefully a pro tour someday.
All right, here we go.
Once I'm done touring, I'll hit all the spots I never got to see. It's one of my goals.
All right, well, first of all, I want to apologize in advance for all the people, all the listeners on this podcast who don't like listening to my voice. It's unfortunate for you that I'm the email person and I get to read the amazing stories that we requested to come in. And we've got some really awesome disc golf stories. So this one is from, let's see, this is from Renee from Zurich. Yeah, here we go. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, from Switzerland. We run a regular league night at our local course, Hardhof, in Zurich. It's Switzerland's most visited course. I think Simon has played here many years ago. There are stories shared how he just went over all the trees on holes 9 and 10. The league runs all year.
Sounds right.
It's open to everyone, and it turns into a glow league during the winter months. It was snowing. We were halfway through our glow round on 21st of November when Detlev made his first appearance on hole 10. Detlev is a fox and has been spotted around the area many times, usually shy. But this time he ran up to Daniel's glow reactor, snagged it, and ran into the bushes. We were unable to chase him down or find the disc, even with the whole card searching. We had a good laugh, except for Daniel, who had to play the next 8 holes without his trusty mid-range. We have video of Detlev's first thievery. In the course of the next week, someone had dropped a message in our group chat that the disc was found and returned to our lost and found box. Detlev was deemed a hero who just wanted to join the fun. Several memes followed on the group chat, and it was decided to make our course's number one bag tape in a fox shape. Detlev was a star. 1 week later, we were back to the Glow League and joking that Daniel better keep an eye on his reactor. Coming back onto hole 10, Daniel decided to throw a different disc, but did not confirm whether it was because of fear. Alas, no fox was seen. A couple holes later, with the reactor back in play, the fox returned with the same determination and ferocity and went straight for the reactor. We couldn't believe us. Some of us started shouting and chasing the fox. Perhaps Detlev had been watching the game for a while now, because in true disc golf etiquette, he dropped the disc near where he got it from and disappeared again into the bushes. Daniel ended up winning the round with his recovered mid-range at a solid -3. A year later, and even though Daniel still throws his reactor on glow nights, Detlev has not been seen again. We hope he is okay and he is out there looking after little Detlev's, too busy to play this nonsense game we call disc golf. What is certain is that poor Detlev will forever be accused when someone loses their disc at Hardhof now. There you go. And there he is. Wow. There's the fox.
Detlef.
Detlef, best freaking fox name of all time, and that's a very good story. Just another beautiful disc golf experience.
That reminds me of Swenson Park in Stockton, California. I was
Sexton.
Well, Sexton, but also I was playing a practice round in the morning out there, and this was like 2 or 3 years ago, and I think it was on like hole 10. I threw a Doombird at the time, and there was a fox in the fairway, and it just it skipped like perfectly in its line of sight. And to a fox, I imagine that a disc looks like a small animal slash rodent to it. So it's like, oh, I'm going to go over and fetch it. So it runs over and grabs the disc and runs into the bushes, and I'm like chasing after it, and I find it. I luckily he dropped it, but the disc was wet and it stank. So I assumed that the fox peed on it. And I'm like, oh God. And I was like rinsing it off, and there was just this like intense pee slash pheromone something smell. And then, of course, on hole 15, I threw it again, and then I lost it in the water. But, yeah, foxes like to take discs.
You guys know the Sexton Ace Elixir story from OTB Open, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lost disc elixir.
Simon, do you listen to Rammstein? Is that the right? Rammstein?
I do not. I'm sorry.
What did they play? What kind of music?
That was the biggest regret of my 2024. I was in Copenhagen, and I needed to fly from Copenhagen up to Oslo. And Rammstein, however you say it, was playing the night. Like, you literally heard Rammstein playing from my Airbnb and didn't go see it. I was so bummed because they have, like, they're known to put on one of the craziest live performance with like pyrotechnics and just, I mean, they've transcended German music as a global metal icon, which I'd love to see Rammstein one day.
Well, I don't know too much about them. I know there's some controversies going on with their shows and what's going on behind the scenes with this band. But, yeah, they've definitely cracked the code for international success, at least for German standards. I think they're actually more popular internationally than they actually are in Germany themselves.
Flying out the next day, I saw so many people wear Rammstein shirts, and so many people just had like Rammstein tattooed on them. I was baffled by how many people flew from wherever in Europe or the world to come see them.
It's a movement.
All right, here's a great email that we got in response to when we were talking about signatures, getting a disc sign and skipping the last few holes to get an autograph. Simon, I don't know if you remember, you were talking about how you can't understand how people will sacrifice important watching moments in order to get a signature from a pro who finished earlier. And this person has a really great story of just that. The year was 2017. My Discmania enthusiast friend and myself were standing right next to the stage/platform near the old short pin on hole 18 at Winthrop University. Nate Sexton is on the green of 18, laying up his putt to secure his win. My friend looks up and sees Simon is standing on the platform right next to us, also watching the action. My friend nudges me to get my attention, and he decides that this was the best time to ask Simon to sign a disc for him. And Simon, in the most polite Simon-esque way, knelt down closer to us without looking away and responded, "Not right now, please. I'm about to watch my friend win his first major. I feel like this small moment proves that you can't even be mad at Simon when he turns you down for a signature because of how polite he is. And two, even if there is some amazing disc golf history happening around you, someone is going to fanboy a pro hard enough to forget about everything else going on and try to live in their own moment."
What year was that? Can you remind me?
2017. It's the year Sexton won USCGC. It's the only time he won.
Wow.
So it would have been...
Yeah, my best friend doesn't apply with...
No, it wasn't best friend. Misread that. It was friend. Oh. I misread that. I don't know why I put that in
That's
there.
A good podcast name. My best friend, Nate Sexton.
I would love to call Nate Sexton my best friend, but sadly not. But definitely a friend. He is an amazing disc golfer and person. I've always enjoyed everything he's done for the sport. And in that moment, I guess I cared more about watching him win USDGC.
I feel like that was the right response. You have to appreciate the moment that's going on. And a Simon-obsessed fan is appreciating a completely different moment in that same instance.
I think I've done that exact thing multiple times. Sorry, what?
Well, this plays onto it. I remember I had to like deliberately turn down fans to go watch the playoff of James Conrad and Paul Macbeth. I was right behind the basket when the holy shot happened, and I literally was running through the crowd to go watch hole 17, and there was fans being like, "Eagle, can you stop this?" I'm like, "No, I gotta watch literally the craziest thing in disc golf ever just happened, and I want to go see the outcome."
Mm-hmm.
So, like in instances like that, it's like, you know, I'm a disc golf fan, so I gotta see what's going on. I want to see like these tremendous historic moments if I can.
Yep.
I think we're bigger disc golf fans than the fans that are coming to watch us. So if there's any like key moments like that, or the winning putt is about to happen, we're right there. We freaking want to watch that.
Yeah.
That's why we're there.
I think for us too, those moments are the few moments that take us back to what those fans are experiencing the entire time they're on the property, which is just kind of like those first time jitters of like, holy cow, this is so new and crazy. And here's all these amazing people. And once you've been in it for so long, I think a lot of that dulls out outside of those few crazy shots where everybody just is kind of mind blown. Do you have a wine or a dine?
I could do a short wine.
I'd love that.
If you really want it, fine. Simon wines. I had to go to the freaking dentist last week, the day before Christmas Eve. Okay, I'm going to start by saying I love dentists, and I think it's incredible that that exists in the modern age and medicine. It's unbelievable. But if I'm like, I have not had much luck with my teeth. I know some people go through life with zero cavities. Shout out to my wife. I'm unfortunately not one of those people. So every time I go, basically, there's always, not always, but most of the time, there's something. And there's this phenomenon, and I think this is like a worldwide dentist phenomenon, that the second they start cramming around in your mouth with all kinds of tools, they start asking you questions. And for some have you ever noticed that you get to the dentist, they don't really talk to you, they say like, "Hi, how's it going?" Then they check your mouth, and then the second they start working and you have your mouth like as wide as possible, that's when they start asking you some random questions and expect answers, even though you're clearly unable to say anything. So that's my main whine, which I just don't understand why that's a thing. And the second thing at the dentist, I wish that they would kind of give you like short little updates as they're going through doing stuff, because you're just laying there praying it to be over in any moment. You don't know what they're doing, how they're doing it, or how long this is going to take. And if there's any dentist listening, I'm sure there's other patients like me out there that just wish they would know what is going on in their mouth and how long it's going to take. So little like micro updates, like every minute or every 2 minutes would be huge.
Mm. Nice.
That's all.
Does your dentist have Where's Waldo posters on the ceiling to keep you entertained while you're laying there?
No, unfortunately not.
My dentist does.
Sounds like a good dentist.
Yeah, I know. And I'm really sad that I have to change dentists because now I'm 25 going on 26, which means I have to get new insurance. And my old dentist that I've been to since I was a little kid doesn't take my new insurance anymore. So now I have to go find a new dentist. And
Joey went from little boy to big man real quick.
That is some first world adult problems right there. That's my Joey wine. Why does insurance have to exist? It's like the stupidest thing ever.
Don't get me started.
Yes.
No, let's not talk about insurance, please.
But I agree. Oh, I agree. Man. I do feel like the expectation of the dentist or the assistant of your ability to talk with your mouth full is... They have high expectations. Maybe they are too used to practicing on each other in dental school, so they've gotten good at talking without full use of their mouth. So, Eagle, what's the latest on you, Eagle? I got Maui.
I got
Maui.
I got Hawaii.
Maui. Have you guys seen The Princess Bride?
I used to watch it a lot when I was a kid.
Shout out to Rob Reiner. My dad and I just watched The Princess Bride on Christmas Day in honor of Rob Reiner because it's one of our favorite movies. Simon, have you not seen The Princess Bride?
I have no idea, maybe. I don't have it. I can't visualize
Andre
right
the
now.
Giant's in that movie, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Do you know who Andre the Giant is, Simon, I hope?
I think so.
Very famous.
Definitely seen
is he the big
very
actor?
Famous German actor. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Joey, the real question is, do you know who Andre on Fire is?
No.
He's probably the first German legend of disc golf.
Yeah.
Is it Andre Bate? Is that his last name?
Oh, Batea. Yeah. Oh, what a throwback.
Oh, my gosh. I remember
I was that video real quick. I need to give a shout out.
I was fanboying. I played with him on the Disc Golf World Tour at Kona Piste a long time ago.
Wow. Like, Disc Golf World Tour.
On fire.
Weren't you on fire that event?
Not, no. 2017, I played terribly at Kona Piste.
Uh-huh.
And then I won the next year.
Uh-huh.
All right, if you're a disc golf fan. Sorry.
Nope.
Go.
You go.
Go to YouTube, put in Heiser TV Presents Andre on Fire. And watch this 1 minute and 15 second masterpiece of disc golf cinematography from 19 years ago. It has how many views does this thing have? 5,300. I'm at least 300 of those.
I'm probably about
it's unbelievable.
25.
We'll check back in a couple of episodes to go see how many views we've boosted it to.
Your best friend Nate Sexton actually told me about that video.
I mean, the Heiser TV back in the day was the absolute, I mean, it was just a gold mine of content back there. It was the only place, really, that had any disc golf content from almost 20 years ago. They had, like, its own website with, like, little videos of just crazy stuff. That was, like, so cool.
Old, like, disc golf YouTube videos, I have so much nostalgia around them because there weren't many, but I rewatched so many of the early ones. Like, shout out to the Guardians of Recreation. I don't know if you guys ever seen those videos. Those are some of my favorite videos of all time.
What was the doubles challenges? The one I think of is the one at BRP with Kale and Climo and Barry Schultz and
the Clash.
Yeah, the Clash.
Oh, I don't even think those are on YouTube. You had to buy the DVDs.
But that guy, what was the name of the guy who hosted them? He was
Billy Crump.
Billy Crump. Yeah, he was
the Nature Boy. He came up with his own like terms for like if a disc needed to turd more, he'd call it turderance. And then if it needed like more distance on the shot, a little bit more furderance on that shot.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, he's
and then
he's
what was John Houck, was it Disc Golf Planet? Was that the
Disc Golf Planet?
That was, yep. John Houck.
They're the first people to do live streams. I remember watching, it was Memorial and USDGC that they would focus on. They'd live stream Memorial early in the year and USDGC late in the year. My dad and I would always watch it and was like, oh my God, we're watching live disc golf. It's crazy. Remember watching Will Schustrick win his first USDGC. Remember Nico winning USDGC. Oh my gosh. It was so much smaller back then, but like since it was so small and you were watching like content, it almost felt like more special and bigger in a way. I don't know. That's just like nostalgia talking, but that's how it felt to me.
Yeah.
Like still seeing like Nicolò Castro, it's like, oh my gosh, I used to like watch this guy when I was like 11 years old. Like, it's crazy.
It is crazy. I remember Steve Dodge showing me the VHSs of the Marshall Street Disc Golf Classics.
There's some Disc Golf Monthly. That's another. They did monthly coverage of a East Coast tournament and watching like old Vibram Open. I remember seeing Nico win, Brinster win. It was like, oh my gosh. I've watched those videos so much. You're making me nostalgic.
And for you, that's like nostalgia. And for me, you got to go like 6 or 7 years ahead to when these guys were kind of like just starting on tour, was when I was kind of just first getting exposed to disc golf content. So for me, it was Central Coast. That was like my first exposure, really. Like there was some Jomez, but I grew up watching Young Eagle on the Starter Pack Challenge, Santa Cruz Miss, where you guys threw the watermelon through the window of the RV, and the Battle of the Eras and Champs versus Chumps and all of those. Like, I mean, I remember seeing like 13-year-old or 12-year-old Cynthia Ricciotti at Waterworks, like go, like, yep, carrying the chumps to a couple holes. And Corey Merle, Johnny Disc Golf, was like one of my idols growing up for sure, like in the disc golf, like that whole scene. So I think just like a few years down the road from that. So I think one of my goals in some off season is to go back to the kind of older eras of disc golf content and really like watch a lot of it, because I think there's a lot that I haven't seen.
I have an Eagles Wines real quick. One thing that I find YouTube being so annoying with is you can't like search from like age dates. Like if I wanted to put disc golf and see like content from 10, 15 years ago, it's so hard to find. I'm sure there's probably some third party app that you can find like old YouTube videos a lot easier and like search them. But I would love to go back to like, I don't know, set my date to like 2010 and see what was uploaded at that time, because it would just be tremendous to see it.
Just be just like, okay, only show me anything before 2010, and then it's just regular YouTube, but only stuff that comes up before 2010.
No, that would be exactly. There has to be a way to do it.
Wow. Okay, in 2010, how many total, if you search disc golf on YouTube, how many videos exist for disc golf in 2010 on YouTube? I don't even know what year YouTube was like officially public.
I think YouTube
Andre on Fire was posted. Yeah, it was posted 19 years ago. So that was 2006.
Wow. Wow.
It's kind of crazy.
Well, you Scoville units, thanks for sticking with us all the way through a post-Christmas episode. We've gotten to the top of our email inbox, so please send us any questions, any recommendations, any disc golf-related stories that you have. If you sent one over months ago and I haven't read it yet, or haven't responded, you can shoot it back up to the top of my inbox. I'll take a look. Happy New Year to everyone. Happy New Year to you guys.
Or not yet.
Yeah, but...
This is the last podcast of 2026 or 2025.
2025. Simon, you are leaving.
Yes.
What day next week?
I'm leaving the 3rd, I think. Wait. I actually don't know. I think it's kind of up in the air still. We're talking about switching it a bit around. We're not sure. Maybe I'm only leaving.
We'll see.
Couldn't tell you.
Well, either we'll record one before he has been to Puerto Rico or once he has returned. I guess we will all find that out in the next episode.
What's the episode name? We got a lot of good ones.
I think it should be... Wait, what's the name of the video we need to watch?
Andre on Fire.
That has to be it.
Well, there's, of course, Naked. I liked that one.
Of course, Naked.
I got my wife for Christmas or something.
That was another one. My best friend, Nate Sexton.
I vote for Naked.
All right.
Of course, Naked.
All right. Fine with me.
Yeah. Of course, Naked. Whatever, was it Naked, of course? I think it was Of Course Naked.
This episode would be...
Of course,
yeah,
Naked.
Of course, Naked. Because he said, it's Germany. Of course, it's Naked.
Yeah.
I would be remiss if I didn't finish this episode by sending greetings to all of my dart lovers, because we are in the thick of world championship darts right now. This is probably like the best 2 days of our existence right now. I mean, the night session tonight, Gary Anderson and Michael Van Gerwen, I mean, come on. We are in for some absolute clashes.
That's tonight?
That's tonight.
Oh, I thought that's tomorrow.
I'm pretty sure it's tonight.
Luke Littler is tonight.
I think they're both tonight.
I can look it up in exactly 2 seconds.
I might beat you because I have the PDC app here.
Tonight is...
Oh, I'm wrong. You're right. Yep. Josh Rock. Oh, Ryan Searle. Okay, still. Ooh.
Yeah, Littler's...
you got to wake up
Van Gerwen's
early
tomorrow
to watch that.
Not early for me.
7:45. I guess Mia's already awake, so.
Easily. All right, guys. In Germany, we'd say Guten Rutsch.
Guten Rutsch.
Guten Rutsch.
Bye.
Will cut out the silence.